The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, notice, of the darkness of this world. The darkness of this world. Now I want you to go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, all right? Revelation 12 and verse 12. The Bible says, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Hey, that's us. And of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, you say, preacher, that verse is direct reference to the tribulation period. I know that. I do not believe we're in the tribulation period. But I tell you what, I believe it could start just about any day, all right? I believe the only thing prevents it is the Lord hasn't, we haven't heard the shout, we haven't heard the trump of God, we haven't heard that invitation to come up hither that's going to be given to those that are saved, and so we've not experienced the rapture and we're waiting for that. But I do believe, I don't believe I'm doing any injustice to the Scripture when I say to you, the devil knows he has but a short time. The devil knows he has but a short time. Now, I've been speaking to you on living in the dark. On living in the dark. As we get closer and closer to the return of our Lord, the spiritual darkness of this old world just gets more intense. All the time, more intense. While we were in Idaho, I met a man up there that is running for the Senate in Idaho. This is a politician, his state, hey, not a Baptist. All right, so don't jump that. And honestly, I believe this individual needs to be born again. But this politician said to me, and he's running for the Senate in Idaho, he said, we're in a battle between good and evil. And I believe that. I believe that with all that's within me. Now, the darkness gets more intense. But I believe we're not to be content to just get used to the dark, okay? I'm not for that. Instead, we're to produce as much light as we can. We're to let our light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to stand for Him. We're to proclaim the truth. We're to rejoice in the fact that we're on our way to heaven. We're to try to reach as many people as we can. At the same time, we do need to be aware that we're living in a dark time. And we need to take some measures to see that that darkness does not overwhelm us. That's why it's important that we know how to live in the dark. And I preach to you, when you're living in the dark, light becomes priceless. Priceless. And it's also necessary to be extremely careful as to where you put your foot when you're walking in darkness, all right? You need to be careful. Now, what I want to emphasize to you today is we have an enemy. We had an adversary, and it's real critical in the dark to keep your eye open for the enemy. Now, it's real easy to hide in the dark. When I was a kid, I sort of considered myself a professional hide-and-seek player. And I loved to play hide-and-seek as a kid, but it was no fun if it wasn't in the dark. And, man, that's when it's fun because it's a lot easier to hide in the dark, and but at the same time, it's easier to be caught unaware in the dark. Most of the crime happens in the dark. Most of those kind of things, that people are caught unaware in the dark. So I don't want that to happen to you. And knowing that the devil has but a short time, and he is our adversary, hey, it's important, number one, you learn to identify the enemy. Learn to identify the enemy. Take your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible doesn't mince words about who our adversary is, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We find this verse. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, you need to identify who your enemy is. Say, preacher, we don't have a problem with that. Well, wait a minute. I want to tell you this. Your enemy is not some individual with whom you have a difference. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is not the person who took your parking place. You know, you were in line, you were waiting patiently, and all of a sudden, psst, they jumped in there. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is not the person that cut you off on the freeway. Your enemy is not the one that took the shopping cart you were planning on getting, all right? That's not your enemy. It's not. Hey, it's not the one that took the last roll of paper towels during the so-called pandemic, all right? That's not your enemy. If you go shopping on Black Friday, God help you. But if you do, I want you to know your enemy is not the one that gets that gift you were planning on getting, and you see him pick the last one off the line. Don't tackle them, beat them up, and try to take it away from them. That's not your enemy, all right? It's not. Hey, we spend too much time looking in the wrong direction when it comes to our enemy. We just spend too much time looking the wrong way for our enemy. And we think that person here or that person there, they're not your enemy. Friend, I'm going to tell you, your enemy is Satan. Your enemy is Satan. He is, as the Bible says, your adversary. That's why the scripture says, be sober, be serious about it. Be vigilant. Open your eyes. Be on the lookout, all right? Why? He's after you. His thoughts destroying you and to destroy your family, destroy this church. Love to do that. Love to do that. Why? He's your adversary. He's your enemy, all right? You better get that right today. You better understand that. He's real. He's real. He's not some figment of our imagination. He's real. He is out there. He will be after you. He's not to be taken lightly. Too many people making a joke. The sad thing is, too many Christians think, I can take him on in my own might. No, you can't. This is not a professional wrestling match, where the end is determined before the beginning. It's not that at all. You said, wait a minute, preacher, you don't believe wrestling is real? Yeah, it's real. It's real entertainment. It's real entertainment. I just want to tell you, I watched wrestling. I've watched wrestling. Andre the Giant. Remember him? Andre the Giant, big guy. Right? And you know, you've seen matches between guys like Andre the Giant and some little short dude. There used to be a guy named Argentine Zuma that wrestled. Anybody remember him, all right, from the days, all right? Hey, listen, I'll tell you, let's just be honest with it. I'm not going to be able to whoop Andre the Giant. I just couldn't do it. I could now. He's dead, all right? But, let's just be honest. It's not going to happen, okay? So, man, I know the great oriental arts of self-defense, yeah, but I'm worried about him falling on me, all right? I'm just worried about that, okay? Hey, listen, we get the idea sometimes, Christians get the idea of, hey, I can take the devil on. No, you can't. You can't whoop him on your own. He's your adversary. You don't have a chance in this world of defeating him by yourself. You can't do it, all right? Don't ever get yourself that out. Hey, be sure you identify the enemy. But once you've got him identified, you need to inform yourself about that enemy. You need to inform yourself about him. Take your Bible and look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It's important that you know about your enemy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 11, it says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Of his devices. Hey, you need to be informed about your enemy. Every good boxer, if they're going to have a match against an individual, they will study that individual. They will study his style, what he does, the way he holds his hand, the way he telegraphs what the next punch is going to be. And if you study long enough and hard enough, you may be able to find that weakness because you're informed about your enemy. You may realize, hey, he drops his shoulder before he throws that right roundhouse, okay? I mean, you study him out. You watch him. You're prepared so you know what he's going to do, and you can whip that enemy. You need to be informed about your enemy. Every time that any nation goes to war, if they've got any sense, they study their enemy, okay? They study their enemy. They want to know what kind of tactics he's going to use, all right? Want to know what kind of tactics they're going to use. Why? The more informed we are, the better able we are to defend ourselves. So you need to be informed about Satan. Why? Because we don't want him to get an advantage of us. Hey, I got no news for you. He knows something about us. You better be informed about him. The Bible says to keep him from getting advantage because we're not ignorant of his devices. You say, what is his devices? Number one, John 8, chapter 44 says he's a liar. If you want the great characteristic of Satan, he is a liar. He's a liar. If it's one thing you can trust the devil to do, you can trust him to lie to you. And now, by the way, the devil's not going to personally appear before you. But he may send somebody. You need to be aware that who he sends is going to lie to you. Not going to tell you the truth. Hey, he's been lying to humans since the Garden of Eden. When he stood before Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, a lie to her. When he told her, ye shall not surely die, he was lying. He was lying. He's a liar, folks. He hadn't turned over a new leaf lately. He still lies, okay? Because of that fact, that means very simple. Now, you don't have to be a great Einstein or great brain to figure this out. You know if somebody's a liar, you know you can't trust them. You know you can't trust them. But yet I've seen so many people believe the lie of the devil and think I can trust him. Hey, his promises are void the moment they're given. Why? He's a liar. He's a liar. You need to be informed. You need to realize that. You need to keep that uppermost in your mind. You don't need to think, well, maybe this time he's telling the truth. No, he's not. He's not going to tell you the truth. By the way, I'll tell you this about the devil. He knows more scripture than most Christians. Amen. Yes, sir. When he came before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord was in the wilderness and had fasted for 40 days, the devil came to tempt him. He quoted scripture to him. He quoted scripture to him, all right? But here's the problem. He'll twist it. He'll twist it. He'll cause you to question what God says. Hey, by the way, that's a new tactic. He just started doing that in the Garden of Eden. Just started doing it there. All right? Thousands of years ago, he came to Eve and said, yea hath God said. What? Questioning the word of God. Hey, now he knows that scripture, but he'll twist it, all right? He'll only use it for his gain. As he tried to do when he was tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll only use it against you if he comes to you and to, hey, you watch out for those that twist the scriptures for their own gain. You be careful. Now, you can't do that unless you know the scripture. That's why we encourage you, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. That's why we encourage you when you come to church, bring your Bible, open your Bible, check out if what I'm preaching the Word of God or not, all right? Because there's some people that are going to tell you things that are not biblical. Now, they will use some scripture, but they'll twist it. They'll twist it. They'll leave out part of it. I've been in times before listening to somebody preach, maybe on TV or on the radio, and a guy will quote something, and I'll go, doesn't sound just right. That just doesn't sound just right. Or sometimes they'll quote part of a scripture and cut it off where it's convenient for them. Now, I'll give you an extreme example. The Bible says Judas went out and hanged himself. We can stand here today and we can all say, that's right, preach it, he hung himself. But I could take you to another portion of Scripture and it says, go thou and do likewise. You'd say, well, wait a minute, I'm getting a little uncomfortable now. And then I could take you to another Scripture which says, and whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. But if I got up here and tried to tell you that what you need to do is go out and hang yourself, I could take Bible for it, but I've twisted it. I've taken it out of context. I've abused the book in order to abuse you. And I got news for you. There's plenty of the devil's minions do that today. You need to be careful, all right? By the way, when it comes to the Bible, the emphasis ought to always be on what it says. You said, what do you mean? Because there's a lot of people that want to say, now what that means is, you put the emphasis on what it says. What it says. You know, I've found God has a great ability to say what he means. But man, I've heard multitudes of people try to explain the Scripture away and try to say, now that really means, or in the original. By the way, anybody says that, lying to you, they've never seen the original. None of them. Never seen it, all right? You be careful. You need to be informed about your enemy. About your enemy. The Bible says he can transform himself into an angel of light. Just because somebody looks good, and even maybe sounds good, be careful. Be careful. You need to inform yourself about your enemy. And not only that, take your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, would you? Ephesians chapter 4. Look, in the darkness, we need to be fully aware of our enemy. We need to be fully aware of our enemy. Because in the darkness where they can do the most damage to you. All right? He said, what should we do? Ephesians 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. That means we need to be sure he's isolated. He is isolated. Don't allow him room in your heart. Don't allow him room in your home. Don't allow him room in your life in any way. Don't let him there. Isolate him out yonder as if he had the worst plague, Ebola, that you could think of, all right? Man, we just put him way out there. Why? Because he's got something that infects you. Isolate him. Keep him away, all right? In this day, we've gotten so inclusive that we seem to be afraid to take a stand against anything, regardless of how wicked it might be. But I'm here to tell you, you ought to take a stand to get some stuff, all right? You need to isolate the devil. He needs to be outside of your life. Anything and everything that relates to evil ought to be out yonder. If it smells of evil, if it resembles evil, if it might be construed or if it might be considered to be evil, put it out. Put it out. But I like it. Put it out. Get rid of it. Hey, your Bible tells you in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22 to abstain from all appearance of evil. Hey, if it looks bad, stay away from it. Stay away from it. I just want you to know there's some places this preacher will not go because it looks bad. Looks bad. I really enjoy shooting pool. All right, on pool table, cue ball, all them other multicolored balls. I like to do that. I'm no good at it, but I like to do it. I enjoy doing it. But I couldn't tell you the last time I did. Because most of the places, if I say pool hall, that does not bring up in your mind a good thing. You don't get a good picture. You don't get a picture. TV, movies. when they go into a place that's got a pool table, you know what nearly every one of them looks like? Look like a smoky beer joint, right? Smoky beer joint. Now, you see your preacher coming out there, you'd think he's in there shooting pool. No, you'd see him coming out and say, what's he doing in there? No, what you'd say? I knew it, hypocrite! We're quick to do that. Wait a minute. That's a good thing, abstain from all appearance of evil. Why? We need to isolate the devil. We need to have nothing to do with him, all right? Anything that even looks remotely bad, or it could be bad, or even a tiny bit bad, get it out of your life, all right? You just can't do it. Look, you cannot play with sin and not get harmed. Neither can you allow Satan any access to your life without paying a great price. I know today we think we can't live without this. I'm going to tell you this. If you can't control it, if you can't handle it and you can't put any blocks on it, if you can't stop yourself, then get you a stinking flip phone that can't access the internet. You can just get you one that can access the internet. You don't need Satan to have access to you. You don't need him to have access to you. Used to, you had to go out of town, or at least you had to go to a store and look around and ask what they've got behind the counter. Today, you can get it right here. Right here. Hey, if you can't keep that out and you can't put a, you know, some kind of measure on there to filter it out of your life, and you can't have, then get you a flip phone. Well, but I won't be able to. Yeah, but you won't have, Satan won't have access to your life, though. You cannot get away without paying a great price. Don't believe it? Ask Lot. Lot thought he could. It cost him two daughters. Maybe it cost him grandchildren. We don't know that. Good possibility. Cost him his wife. Why? Because he took his family where he should have never taken them. And he stayed where he should have never stayed. And he gave access of Satan to his life and his family. And he paid a great price. So what are you saying? I'm saying you need to isolate the enemy. That's where biblical separation comes in. Well, I know it's not popular. You preach separation today and people call you a Pharisee. They call you a legalist. You're not that. You're a Bible believer. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to keep that wickedness out of my life. I'm trying to separate myself from it. I'm not interested in how close to the line I can walk without falling in. I'm interested in how far I can stay away from the filth and the sin of this world. That's exactly what every Christian ought to be interested in. We need to separate ourselves. Why? We want to isolate the devil. We want to isolate him. He's out there. We're over here. We're over here. Hey, you need to identify the enemy. You need to know where he is. You need to inform yourself of him. You need to isolate him in this day of darkness in which we live. And lastly, take your Bible back to 1 Peter chapter 5, all right? 1 Peter chapter 5. You were there a minute ago. I hope you were. Go back there to 1 Peter chapter 5. Once you're there, then I want you to go right in front of 1 Peter is the book of James. I want you to look at James chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, James chapter 4. All right? We're going to look at both these scriptures here, all right? Because there's something else you need to do. You need to insulate yourself against the enemy. Insulate yourself. Isolate him. And then insulate yourself against him. You said, how am I going to do it? 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, you know, be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Notice verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Notice whom resist. Who's he talking about? The devil, your adversary, Satan. Resist him steadfast in the faith. That's how you insulate against the devil. Resist him. Not resist him on your own strength, but in the faith. In the faith. Built up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible established. The Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of your life when you got saved. Then you build yourself and you resist the devil steadfast in the faith of the Bible. There's an insulation that is there, all right? There's an insulation. James chapter 4, look if you will there, verse 7. Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Notice, submit yourselves to God, and draw nigh to God, and resist the devil. Hey, how do I insulate? Part of insulating is to resist him. To resist him. And he'll flee from you. Our problem is we don't resist. We don't resist. You say, well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that, preacher? That we don't resist the devil. All right? Lance, come here real quick. Give me a hand, all right? All right, let me show you something. Here's our normal reaction, all right? Here's our normal reaction. Now, we got a choice. I can be the devil or he can. I raised him. He's the devil, all right? So here we are. Now, he's really not. He's a pretty good fellow. All right, so I'm going to let him portray for us right now the devil, all right? Now, the devil comes and he invites. Just give me that, all right? Just give me that, all right? Now, here's what we have a tendency to do. He does that and we go. That's not what we ought to do. When sin comes our way and when the influence of sin wants to draw us, we're not to go, well, let me get a better look, see what it really looks like. No, when the invitation comes, it's need. No, no. And what does the Bible say? Flee! I'm out of here. I'm gone. But we don't do that. Well, I'm not joining up with him. I just want to get a better look. I just want to be sure I see what he's inviting so I know what to avoid. I'll tell you, before long we find out we're like this. We've embraced him. Amen. And everything he wants. Yes, sir. All right? Hey, we're to resist. The Bible said we're to resist the devil. We're to flee, and he'll flee from us. We're to draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Oh, I want to be with you. You know why? Because if you're with him, the devil really has a hard time. The devil really has a hard time. You know, when I was a little kid, I thought my dad would whip anybody. My dad wasn't quite as tall as I am. But were you that way when you were a kid? I thought my dad would whip anybody. And I thought myself, well, if I'm having trouble, all I got to do is get to dad. He'll take care of me. Get to dad. He'll take care of me. Now, I believe this. My dad would have done anything in the world he could have for me. He would have. I'm not the biggest guy in the world. But if you'd have messed with my kids when I was growing up, and they were growing up, I'll tell you what, I'd have given you a hard time. You look at me and said, little runt like you, yeah, but I know how to use a tire tool. I know what a 2x4 is for, all right? And it's more than building a house, all right? Hey, I believe in an equalizer if you need one, all right? I'm going to tell you what, I got a heavenly father that can handle anybody or anything. And I learned a long time ago, if I'll just draw close to him. I just draw close to him. It'll help. Because the devil, one thing the devil knows he cannot defeat our Lord. He knows he's got experience at it, years of it. He knows he can't defeat him. He's still going to fight. He said, why don't he give up? Because he's stubborn just like some of you are. And you won't quit what you're doing either. Hey, you hear me? We need to insulate ourselves against our enemy. So how do we do it? You stay in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the house of God. Be faithful in church. Be faithful in the house of God. Be faithful in service for God. Those things will help insulate you from the enemy. They'll keep him from being able to get to you. Hey, I'm isolating him. I want him out there, way away from me. But at the same time, I'm going to insulate. I want to build up a barrier that if he gets in, he's got to work hard to get into it. I want that barrier between me and him. You need that barrier to be there, all right? You need it. Hey, can I say this to you in conclusion? No one point is a guarantee that you're safe from the devil and his cohorts. In this dark time in which we live, it is not good enough to say, well, I've informed myself. I know. Hey, preacher, not that. I know who my enemy is. I recognize him. I've identified him. And I've informed myself. Hey, wait a minute. That's not going to guarantee you can overcome. Well, I've isolated him out there, and he's not going to bother me. Wait a minute. Not going to guarantee it. Well, I've tried to insulate myself from him, all right? I'm going to tell you, no one thing, no two things that you do will keep you safe. But I believe this. I believe if you'll seek to do all that you can, it'll help protect you from the enemy in this dark. Everything you can do. I'm not going to ask any of you here, ever had a problem with mice in your home? Not going to ask that. Most of us have dealt with them. We moved in an apartment. When my wife and I first got married, we moved in an apartment right down here on Denton Highway. I don't even remember now what the place is called. But it was Coventry Park Apartments when we got married. It's gone through several names since we've lived there. When we left, it went downhill. No, I was kidding. But we moved in. Second story. You know, I thought, we'll probably battle roaches. I didn't think we'd have a battle with mice. I never forget opening the door one day, there was a mouse sitting on the stove on his hind legs. It was almost like, well, my door, there he was. It was almost like, hey, guys, when's supper, okay? Let's get it on the table. And so we put out mouse traps. We caught one. And what do you do with a mouse in an apartment? Well, I went out on the balcony and dropped him off, you know, in the yard. Not in the balcony below me, but in the yard there. And, we got him. I said, well, let's just set another one just to be safe. We set the trap again. We caught another one. They came out, dropped it on. Well, it's just set. I don't even remember how many mice we caught, all right? I thought, this is beyond belief. Here we are, second story. Where are they coming from, you know? But I found out this. You can't give them a place. We moved into a house. We left the apartment. We moved into a house over on Netches. And boy, there were mice there. You could see tracks in the carpet where they had trails. I'm not kidding you. I'm not exaggerating here, all right? They were there. You could see them. And in the early days, I remember my wife and I putting out a trap. We're laying in the bed watching the mouse jump around there until he gets caught, you know? Hey, we didn't have any money. It was cheap entertainment, you know? I don't know how many mice we killed in that house. They were there. There were tons of them, all right? Now, so what do you do when you're battling something like that? You look for any point of weakness whereby they might get in. Can I say this to you? In your life, in this dark time in which we live, you've got an adversary. You better be looking for that weak spot in your life. You better be trying to identify it. Hey, I guarantee you the devil's looking for it. I guarantee you he's looking for it. You better find it and work on it so you can survive in this dark day. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, I ask you today, you've identified the enemy, I hope. You know who he is. Are you really?